What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the show. Today, I wanted to continue the conversation or the rampage, whatever you want to call it, that I've kind of been having this past week on my social media, which is kind of centered around this topic of stop stressing about the small shit when it comes to your health and fitness. And, you know, at the very minimum, just like stop overcomplicating things when it comes to improving your health or maintaining good health over time. And I made a reel earlier this week and essentially talked about this, and I got some good feedback, and I figured it would be good to just elaborate a little bit more and give some further recommendations and just reinforcements to you, which if you've listened to any of my podcasts or the guest features that I've had, you know a lot of the things that I'm going to say, and you're familiar with kind of the philosophy and the approach that I tend to take with clients and when creating content centered around health topics on social media. But I don't think people can hear it enough. And I do think it's something that we constantly need to hear different perspectives and appreciate, in my opinion, what the most important things are as it pertains to you and your health and fitness pursuits, because you're constantly being bombarded or sold a different narrative or sold different products or sold different services that are kind of like tricking you or forcing you into think that you need to be doing more than what you're already doing, or you need to be doing more than what you already know you should be doing consistently and the things that are going to give you the biggest return on your investment. So I wanted to just ramble a little bit on here, and it is more for me just sitting on, you know, on my little soapbox here and trying to get across the point that this stuff doesn't have to be that complicated. It doesn't have to be that complex and difficult, as, again, as much as people might be making it out to be. When I started posting content on social media, when I opened my business and started taking on clients and, you know, started the podcast and started my email newsletter, when I really dove deep into like what people want to learn more about, this is became really evident on my, you know, Q&As that I've done over the last handful of years as well. But people continuously just kind of gave me this never-ending list of things that they wanted to discuss, health topics, fitness topics that they wanted to discuss as it pertains to their health and what they should or shouldn't be doing. Like, what is collagen? Or should I be drinking bone broth every day? Or should I be drinking wheatgrass shots in the morning? Or should I be tracking my blood sugars with a CGM if I don't have diabetes? Or, you know, is turmeric or CoQ10 gonna cure my inflammation? Or insert any type of health claim or whatever that you're seeing on social media today or whatever you're hearing from your family and friends. And those are things that I attempted to tackle. I tried to make posts and continue to answer these questions and spend a lot of my time trying to add context and to give you guys an educated kind of like answer to some of the things that, in my opinion, are probably irrelevant for most people. But my goal here, as I, you know, keep recording podcasts and as I keep making content and as I keep working in the health and fitness space, my goal really is to just kind of help people dispel certain myths and weed through all of the BS that's constantly being, you know, shown to them in so many different outlets, whether it is through social media or technology or articles or when you go to the grocery store or whatever pieces of information that you get from other people who do not have a background in science or education or in nutrition or training. And even people who do have educations in those, you know, aren't always off, you know, off the hook as it comes to recommending some of this stuff or things people might buy into or sell for themselves. But I just feel like if you are listening to this, you probably know that there's an infinite amount of information out there. And when it comes to making choices about your health on a daily basis, we are having to come up with so many, you know, answers and thinking about so many things over the course of the day that makes it difficult and makes it feel like complicated and just harder than it actually needs to be. Now, of all the questions that people could be coming up with, or things that you're exposed to, like whether or not you should be eating organic versus non-organic produce, or should you be worried about artificial sweeteners, or is really swapping cane sugar, organic cane sugar, for high fructose corn syrup going to make a meaningful fucking difference if I'm drinking soda consistently over time, or, you know, how much alcohol people are drinking. And yeah, I mentioned the micromanaging blood sugars, or, you know, improving your quote unquote gut health, or talking about hormonal health, you know, these really vague kind of buzzwordy type of, you know, marketing campaigns and things that people are using to exploit and take advantage of your insecurities, because maybe you don't know much about that, or maybe you think that that's the thing that's missing in the order of operations that you're kind of using day to day as it, you know, pertains to you trying to lose weight or improve your body composition, or feel better, or improve your blood markers. Again, whatever it is that you're working towards, like there's so many things that you think you probably need to be thinking about, just because everyone's making you aware of some of these other things that could be happening, that it just becomes more complicated and more convoluted and more confusing to you as a general consumer at the end of the day. And with all that being said, you know, you've heard me talk about the big rocks and a lot of those things that we're going to talk about today, but I want to simplify that even a little bit more and just give you some reinforcement and some re-encouragement as to what you could and should be doing, and give you permission to block out all of the other noise and all the other BS that you might be exposed to, you know, today and from here on out, because the shit is not going to go away, especially if you exist on social media or listen to podcasts or receive any type of input or information when it comes to, you know, your health and fitness. But the number one thing that I would say, and I don't want to overgeneralize this or oversimplify it, because even me thinking about this, I know this overly reductionistic mindset could be misleading in certain contexts, but for most people, prioritizing eating things that you don't always have to unwrap or open up out of a box or a package is probably a good idea. Right. And I'm not sitting here saying don't eat any processed foods ever. Like, I do think incorporating processed foods, you know, especially particular types of foods, a lot of food, all food is essentially processed at one point or another in packaging or, you know, distributed differently. But you know what I'm talking about here. Like, you hammering the Reese's Puffs is going to be different than you making your breakfast with eggs or egg whites, or, you know, like opening up a thing of cottage cheese or having oats, like anything that you can think of, as you know, is maybe a little more nutrient dense as it comes to breakfast, for example. Like, those two swaps are going to be different and probably more health promoting for you compared to the alternatives of things that you're opening up out of a bag that's packaging that has a ton of colors and marketing on the food label itself. You spending more time on the outskirts of your supermarket is a good idea. Eating stuff that comes from the earth, more plants, you know, if you eat animals, you eat meat, you know, eating more or less processed meat sources. So not going and getting all the cured meats or the, you know, the bologna and the hot dogs and, you know, the meat that you can tell is more processed, has more sodium added to it, has higher calorie content from it versus chicken breasts, or, you know, if you know you choose to eat ground beef or meat or red meat, poultry, fish, right? Like, a lot of these leaner sources of protein, these sources of protein that have, you know, healthy, you know, fatty nutrients and are a little bit more nutrient dense than the stuff that you might find in a package or, you know, frozen and incorporated in a frozen meal dinner, you know, when you're looking in the frozen section of the supermarket. Like, find stuff that comes from the earth that is a little bit more minimally processed. And when you do that, when you start to eat less processed foods, you will notice that things feel better. Things are a little bit easier. It's not something that you're always constantly wondering what ingredients or what are being added to there. So you're kind of taking a lot of this hyperfixation of like, what's being added to my food, kind of out of the equation when you are eating more whole foods, more things from the earth or found on the earth itself, instead of processed and manufactured in a lab. And when you do choose to eat more processed foods, like, actually find companies that give a fuck about your health, like whether it be supplements or prepackaged products or protein bars or, again, breakfast cereals. Like, when you do choose to eat things that are prepackaged, that are hyper processed, choose things that, again, that companies are going above and beyond to not give you the cheapest product that they can produce for the highest return, you know, from a cost standpoint, and actually get things that have more nutrients, have fiber added to them, you know, maybe are a little bit more protein dense, a little bit more nutrient dense, use more whole foods as their base, you know, and again, I'm not sitting here saying that you need to be super afraid of the food dyes or of the type of sugar that's being added to some of these products. Like, you already know that foods that have those types of ingredients and have those types of additives, like, are probably not the most nutrient dense foods that you can purchase when you're eating. And again, there's a time and place for them. Like, take myself, for example. Recently, this last week, I've been experimenting more with like intra-workout nutrition when I've been going on a little bit longer runs. So having like a full sugar Gatorade, or having like more, you know, processed sugars or gummy bears, or things that can give me relatively, you know, quick energy for, you know, low effort when it comes to chewing and digestion, like, those things absolutely do have a place. And again, that's why I'm trying to walk this fine line of like, and this is where like performance nutrition and nutrition around your training is different than like physique nutrition or body composition or fat loss. Like, of course, there's a lot of overlap if we look at a Venn diagram between the two, but there are places for some of these hyper-processed, nutrient-devoid foods in some of these scenarios where we're talking about performance output or improving your, you know, and energy exertion when you're going on a run or doing a cardio session or going and training and getting a lift in at the gym. Like, they do have a place, right? But if your diet is predominantly made up a lot of these things and you're not training enough, and, you know, we'll talk about activity here in a second, but you're not lifting and you're not taking care of yourself and you're not getting a minimum amount of steps in every day and you're not getting your heart rate up consistently, like, obviously those go hand in hand. And that's why people who maybe struggle, you know, with comorbidities or obesity, and not to just point the blame on just food and sedentary lifestyles for obesity, you know, being a disease, you know, as we live here today, but they do contribute. And there is an element of making informed decisions and choosing foods or different products that might be more health promoting versus what might be more energy dense or convenient or very tasty, yummy, hyper palatable foods that are extremely easy for us to eat, right? So all this being said, if you are somebody that is eating things that you don't always have to unwrap out of a package or a wrapper, like, that is probably a good thing. And most people already know this, but the more you do that, the more consistent you are with that, the more you're probably going to be able to control your calories and probably get more fiber in and probably hit your protein target for the day and not overeat on a ton of other foods that are super yummy and tasty. You're probably going to feel better. You're probably going to get more vitamins and minerals that way because you're having more plants or you're having more high quality protein sources, or maybe you're vegetarian, you're getting more soy or tempeh or whatever it is that you're choosing to eat. Like, choosing these foods and these products are going to give you and lead to better health outcomes more likely over time if you are making that more consistently. So I want to talk about this because the more often you are doing that outside of tracking your calories or your food or, you know, what your total maintenance calorie range is, or if you're in a deficit, like, even independent of that, like, these are going to have independent health outcomes, you know, regardless of maybe what your total calories are. Of course, total daily calorie consumption is going to drive, you know, your weight and how much you gain or lose or maintain or where your body sits. But chances are you eating more whole foods, less processed foods, minimally processed foods, you know, eating less of these super hyper palatable, really tasty foods over time, it's going to be easier to control your calories. It's going to be easy to feel more full and satiated. It's going to be easier to get more of these micronutrients in. And that's something that, yeah, you're not going to find, you know, in the middle section of a lot of these grocery stores where a lot of these companies are just competing for your attention and they're trying to make the highest, you know, or the tastiest, most visually appealing foods as possible. So you as a consumer will buy them and kind of get hooked on them a little bit easier because you love the taste of them. And, you know, it's really difficult to just eat a portion size of the, you know, Cool Ranch Doritos, for example. So nothing groundbreaking there, but I just want to reinforce this, that if you're eating more whole foods, like, you don't need to be stressing and shitting your pants over everything, you know, at what you're, whatever you're buying at the store. And again, doing that more consistently makes it less important for you to look at food labels. Like if you're eating 80, 90% of your food from a lot of these whole sources and, you know, you're controlling your calories and you're eating a really good nutrient dense diet and you have a, using the Reese's Puff cereal, you have a bowl of Reese's Puffs every day, like that can fit, you know, like, but again, it's how frequently and how often, and are you eating away from home? And you know, what does your pantry look like? And what does your break room look like? And how frequently are you eating a lot of these like nutrient devoid, high calorie foods? That's when we start have to, you know, paying attention a little bit more and start taking that a little bit more seriously. But you almost earn the privilege and the freedom to not stress about that as much and not worry about if there's natural flavors and whatever it is that you're buying, because you know, for the most part, you're taking care of business and eating mostly good, whole, high quality food. So keep that in mind, but I just want to reinforce that, because if you're doing that more often, chances are the small stuff doesn't really pertain to you as much. Okay. The next thing I want to reinforce here and talk about is physical activity, specifically resistance training. Of course, I'm a fan of all exercise, whether you like CrossFit or boot camp classes, Orange Theory, F45, you like doing yoga, power walk with fucking ankle weights on and you have 2-pound dumbbells in your hands. Like if this is the type of movement that you do consistently and you enjoy it, I love that. I think that's great. But I just want to reinforce this point that you should not be afraid to lift weights. You should not be afraid of the dumbbells or a barbell or the cables, right? Or the machines and all the different types of equipment that put a lot of stress on your muscles that challenge you in the gym or wherever it is that you're training or working out. But don't be afraid of heavy weights, okay? Putting your body under this type of stress consistently, at least 2 days a week, cause both physical and cognitive changes that are needed for you to thrive as you continue to get older. Not to mention improves your body composition and how you look, which is another motivation for a lot of people when they start exercising or draw the motivation to exercise. But over time, having more muscle, training to retain or build muscle is a great idea in addition to a lot of the other classes or things that you might be doing at the end of the day too. And I realize as I say that, it's like if you're somebody who's really big into CrossFit, like you meet that criteria of resistance training a few times a week, right? Even going to Orange Theory, like there is a weights component, you know, element to some of those classes. But getting some form of resistance training in weekly is extremely important. And I would say, you know, meeting our physical activity guidelines as low as the bar is set is such a wonderful recommendation that most people could and should be shooting for. And anything above that, you don't really need to stress about. But when I talk about what the, you know, physical activity guidelines are, it's at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity activity per week. So like a little bit quicker walking or, you know, working outside, doing things that might get your heart rate up a little bit more than you just like doing the dishes or going on a really, you know, slow, leisurely stroll outside. Like you walking up hills through your neighborhood or walking a little bit quicker can count for that. Same thing with more vigorous activity. There's 75 minutes per week. I could pull it up being lazy here. But I think it's 75 to 90 minutes per week is also sufficient if you are going on a run or swimming or playing sports, you know, doing recreational sports a couple times a week. The bar is set pretty low, if you ask me, in my opinion. And I would add the caveat of, are you getting 7,000 to 8,000 steps consistently on average per day over the course of the week? And if you're not, I think making an effort to get there, whether it's buying a walking pad or increasing your amount of time spent walking around your breaks or going on walks after every single meal or going on longer walks if you're already going on walks. Like physical activity of, you know, trying to get more aerobic work in and also having a daily minimum step goal or weekly step goal is incredible in addition to lifting 2 times a week, 3 times a week. Your life could be changed forever if you are not doing that already and you increase your steps. You get your heart rate up for 75 to 90 minutes plus a week, and you are lifting 2, maybe 3 days a week. Like that is enough. And that's something that we should be shooting for if you are not doing that already. And if you are already meeting and exceeding those guidelines, chances are you're getting 95% of the health benefits with your exercise and lifting routine. And of course, if you want to keep turning the knobs up and you have really specific goals and, you know, there are things that you want beyond where you're already at right now, of course, it's going to maybe take turning up the intensity or doing more, expecting and anticipating that you're going to get diminishing returns, you know, for that. But as long as we're meeting these minimum benchmarks, you are probably healthy as fuck or probably moving towards, you know, the destination of being healthier compared to maybe where you're at today. So those would be benchmarks that I would want you to think about and to continue reinforcing into your routine. Because if you are not doing that already, you're missing out on a ton of health benefits. And you not doing, you know, or meeting these physical activity guidelines or getting some resistance training in every week and getting your heart rate up and getting minimum amount of steps in every day, you know, I just don't give a fuck, you know, if your ingredient label isn't quote unquote as clean, or I don't care about all of the other small topics or what supplements you're taking if you are not doing some of these things already, especially from a physical activity guidelines. Like you cannot get those health benefits elsewhere. And you can focus and fixate and, you know, just kind of think about all of these other small things. But if you are not actually moving your body and doing that consistently, like, what are we even talking about? It's just not something that I want people to be focusing on. And that's where a lot of these, you know, like accounts and people who are talking about these very small, minute things, or these things that, let's be honest, are completely irrelevant or extrapolated or misleading, or maybe there is truth to some of the things that they are saying, but people again are failing to organize it on this hierarchy of importance on where that fits into all this stuff. And if you're not, you know, eating whole foods and managing your calories and not over consuming a lot of, you know, the junk that we're constantly exposed to every day, and if you're not exercising consistently, like, what are we talking about? Like, we have to focus on those before anything else. And again, that's where I find somebody sitting here saying you need to balance your hormones in order for you to lose weight. Like, that is a distraction at best from you focusing on a lot of the other things that are actually going to give you a meaningful return on your investment in terms of, you know, time and how much energy you spend on some of this stuff. Because we all have a finite amount of time that we have to think about our health and fitness and to think about what we need to be doing consistently or doing differently as we're trying to improve a lot of these things we're working on. And again, this distraction thing is something I feel really passionate about, because some people will sit here and say, like, what's the harm in thinking about, you know, you choosing a lower glycemic fruit compared to another thing? And it's like, the harm is that for that person, one, it might make them have maybe more disordered eating patterns over time, or, and you see this a lot as well, but like giving them an eating disorder because you think you have to focus and do everything to the 10th degree in order to maintain optimal health and well-being. But again, that is a distraction. Like, all of this stuff that we're talking about, it's an opportunity cost, right? Like, you focusing on what supplements you'd be taking at what doses and what ingredients you're looking for or not looking for when you're picking up different cereals that you're shopping for, and insert whatever kind of distraction that you might see on social media these days. Like, that is taking time and attention away from you actually spending time and energy on other things that are going to give you a meaningful return. So that's where I get so passionate about this. And again, it's not that I'm discrediting any other health advice that other people are giving, but I think if you have these things that we're talking about dialed in and you're doing them consistently, you don't have to think about the other shit. And at the very minimum, you know, that's if that is something that you want to think about, if you're not doing this already, like, that stuff that you're thinking about isn't going to give you what you're looking for. So hope that's making a little bit of sense. But the last thing I want to touch on here that I think is a good perspective shift and something that will kind of just be something kind of grounding is just thinking about what future you would want, like thinking a little bit more long-term with your health goals and whatever it is that you're working towards. Just thinking big picture is really helpful. Like, and what I mean by that is stop letting the day-to-day decisions fuck with you so much that you feel like everything you do today or don't do today is going to be super consequential over, you know, the week, the month, the year, and the next 10 years or beyond. For all you guys stepping on the scale, like, you stepping on it, it's a little bit higher, you didn't lose weight and you're trying to lose weight right now, like, stop letting that fuck with you every single morning. Like, just document whatever data point it is, track it for the week, and then we'll look at trends over time, right? I also would include this idea of, like, setting hard timelines for things in the foreseeable future that you feel like you have to, you know, attend to or do, like getting skinny for the bachelorette party that you're going on in a month and just trying to starve yourself, like probably not a good idea. And it's probably keeping you in this stop start cycle or this binge cycle or this disordered eating or thinking pattern that is keeping you stuck or feeling like you need to, again, just like start over and over and over again as you continue to progress throughout the year and the next 10 years of your life. Like getting out of this mindset where there has to be specific timelines or else you can't be happy, or you're going to do everything in all of your power to try and lose as much weight so you can take a picture on the first day of your beach vacation when you go, you know, at the end of summer. Like that is not a good headspace for people to be making goals in. And when you start to look at, what do I really want? What are the goals that I'm really working towards? Like to be healthy and fit for my kids, or to be as mobile and independent for as long as possible, or to feel good and healthy and strong and have plenty of energy. Like, yes, you can have physique goals, but ironically, when you start focusing on a lot of these other things, your body composition and the way you look kind of just takes care of itself instead of you fixating on what arbitrary weight loss goal I'm trying to get to and trying to get there as quick as possible. Chances are that's going to lead you down a road where you're going to extremes and you're doing things that are a little bit more unsustainable. And you're kind of just reinforcing this all or nothing mentality that probably isn't working out for you or working in your favor when it comes to you, you know, maintaining good health over the long term. But just stop putting timelines on nutrition and fitness habits and looking at this as something that is ongoing, that is constantly evolving, that is something that you are going to do forever, is something that I find that people, when they adopt that mentality, the shit becomes a little bit easier. It comes more enjoyable. Again, it feels less serious all the time. And that's really where I want people to get to. This is something that you do every single day. You think about what you're going to eat every single day. You eat every day for some people, not my people who fast for 3 days or 5 days straight, right? But you know, this is something you're going to be doing forever. You're going to be doing around people forever. You know, for the people who are parents or who have kids, like you're going to be kind of leading by example or communicating these things to them. Again, as a non, you know, like healthcare professional too. So these are things that as you can figure it out for yourself and you stop, you know, doing the juice cleanses or the fit teas or the detox diets and taking all these random supplements and hyperfixating on individual ingredients, like the sooner you stop giving into that and doing all that shit, again, the easier this feels and the more sustainable it feels and the better off you are going to be. And again, the better off most likely the people around you are going to be as well. But it takes unlearning and kind of appreciating, you know, maybe the stuff that wasn't working for you in the past and adopting, again, some of these mentalities like, am I meeting my physical activity guidelines? Am I eating in a way that makes me feel good, that is, you know, not always consisting of super processed foods all the time? And am I doing that consistently over time? Like that is going to give you most of the benefits that you are looking for when it comes to taking care of your nutrition and dialing in your exercise and your training. And yes, there's room for you to turn the knobs up and for you to be really dialed in and to start tracking food and to increase your training days or getting on an intelligent training program. But again, most people don't need that to see really impactful and profound health benefits over time. So I wanted to reinforce that point today more than anything. And I just want you to approach your nutrition and fitness a little bit differently if you're somebody that's been sitting here hyperfixating on every little thing that comes across your social media feed or every time you go to the grocery store, every time you go to the gym, and you just, again, you don't have to be thinking about everything all the time. And ironically, when you adopt a little bit more of a minimalist mentality around some of this stuff, shit becomes a little bit easier. You think a little bit more clearly and you start to become a better and more informed decision maker around your health and fitness stuff. And you don't let the small stuff fuck with you as much. I think that's really, again, the point that I'm really trying to drive home here. So looking at the time, I have a call right now, so I am going to wrap this episode up, but hopefully this makes sense and hopefully it hits somewhere in your body where you can resonate with it. Or maybe, again, if you already think this way, great, keep thinking that way. Or if there's some inclination or some things pulling you in different directions, maybe this could be a different perspective shift or just a different perspective that can help you think a little bit differently if the way you're thinking right now is not something that you feel is productive for you or has been really helpful for you. So this, again, topic is something I'm really passionate about. It's something I've been talking a lot about with my clients this past week and talking about on my social media. But again, there's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of BS. And unfortunately, there's a lot of motherfuckers out there that's trying to get your money, take your money, and have you buy into their plans or their supplements or their cookware set or their book or whatever it is, right? Just want you to block out the noise and be consistent, be patient, and keep doing shit that makes you feel good, and stop stressing about the little things, the little rocks that are not going to actually move the needle in any meaningful direction for you. If you can keep focusing on the big rocks, I promise you, you'll be good, and you'll be proud of yourself in the next year, 5 years, 10 years, and when you're sitting here at 90 years old. Like, that's the ultimate goal here, okay? If you made it through this episode, I appreciate you as always. Until next time, remember to use the purpose, turn with attention, think with confidence as you work towards your nutrition and fitness goals. Always here if you need anything. Hope you have a good week, and I'll talk with you soon. Peace. Thank you again for listening to this episode. If you found value and enjoyed it, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media. If you do, make sure you tag me so I can say thanks. Or if you're on iTunes, scrolling down and leaving a 5-star review would be much appreciated. And if you ever want to get in touch with me, you can always find me on Instagram at LukeSmithRD. Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. I'll see you on the next episode.